Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'll be here with Hedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy, who is actually at the RAC today in New Jersey. We will be talking about the Illini having an impressive 76-58 victory over Rutgers. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuys.com. Insider info on your favorite teams, analysis on the latest games, weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuys.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable, stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini Guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the Black Friday button, and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
And as promised, we have Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince here to talk about what is going on after a dramatic and impressive opening road victory, the first since 2010 for the Fighting Illini. Brad, you were there. What jumped out at you?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that stands out is the defense that occurred. The defense that the Illini played there. They were just dominant defensively. They shut down Rutgers from the first. If you take out the turnovers that Rutgers got points off turnovers, Rutgers did not score. They scored about 0.6 points per possession without the points off turnovers. So that totally changes. I mean, that just makes it so much easier to play.
Well, either way, for me, the veteran leadership, you could tell. They weren't rattled on the road. You could tell Quincy had been on the road before. I liked Harmon. He was aggressive. He was smart. He didn't get rattled. Marcus Domas is just who we thought he was going to be. What concerned me the first half, I believe they had 10 turnovers. I don't have the stats in front of me officially. I thought they ended with 15, but then someone said 17, which was a huge adjustment at the half. I like this team. They put a lot of people, I guess a lot of concerns to rest, Mike and Brad, with some of their play and their inability to shoot. They had timely threes. Quincy got them going right away early. So just, you know, the older guys and the older veteran leadership and, you know, I can't say enough about Luke Goody. I mean, he was 3-for-7, I think, but some of those were bailout threes at the end. This potentially could be a very, very good team. And what we saw last night with Northwestern beating Purdue, Illinois has a chance to win the Big Ten. I mean, people are asking who the second or third best team is. You got to give Illinois a shot at it. Now, they went on the road, a place they haven't won in years, and they're one up on everybody right now.
You know, Brad, the thing that stood out to me that I wanted to get your opinion on is, but going to the rack and out rebounding Rutgers 55-27 is just something that I didn't think would happen. What were your thoughts on just the way the Illini played, both with rebounding and also holding Rutgers to 33% shooting? You know, the combination of the two was just deadly.
Yeah, I thought Illinois was fantastic defensively. But I think when you look at this, you know, you talk about rebounding. That was a point of emphasis. You know, I talked in the pregame, the two big things were turnovers and rebounding. And Rutgers isn't a bad rebounding team, but Illinois had opportunities. They knew they were going to have opportunities because they have so much positional size. And you saw like Karen Shannon get 10 rebounds and from the guard spot. And so Illinois knew they had an advantage there. And you have to look at it too. Like Rutgers, that's Steve Peichel. I mean, they're tough. That's the way he does things. And Cliff is one of the best big men in the Big Ten and maybe even the country. And Illinois did a great job on him. They just played sound fundamental defense and they blocked out. They went and got the ball. It was impressive. They attacked the ball. You know, we've seen them in other games earlier this year where they kind of let balls come off and guys would look at each other and the ball would get, you know, tipped away or whatever. They didn't do that tonight. It was like, I'm going to get this ball. It's mine.
One of the things Brad Underwood talked about years and years ago, and Brad, I know you were there. I don't know if you remember that, but he talked about holding teams under 40% field goal shooting and today on the road. That's his recipe. If they can hold teams 37, 30, 39%, today Rutgers was 33% there, and they were home. They were 20 of 60 from the field. So defense is going to carry. If you can guard, and they're big. And the one guy that I just, you know, we were kind of concerned about, he started off season great, and I mentioned him, you know, on the onset. Quincy is just another guy. He's not going to come out and give you 30 or 40, but he is just solid when it comes to rebounding. He doesn't turn over. He doesn't seem rattled either. So if you can rebound and get missed shots and take care of the ball, I give Steve Peichel credit. You know, he was kind of questioning whether Illinois can handle the basketball. A lot of people blame those turnovers on Ty Rodgers. I disagree on some of those. You got to make the pass. You just can't stand there. I wasn't there. Brad was. But I know what Brad Underwood meant when he yelled to Marcus Domask, you know, come get the ball. Don't stand there. So this team looks really good. It's early. You know, they're going to be battle tested the next few weeks. And, you know, Underwood said he likes his team. And, you know, you can tell. I think he really means it. They're old. They play together, and you can tell that they really get along. And I didn't mention this guy. He's not going to give you 30, 40 points a game, but Coleman Harkins' defense is great. He is responsible for a lot of stops on defense and blocking shots. So I know fans kind of get frustrated with him, but Mike, you and I have talked before. That kid is solid.
Yep. So, Brad, the question I had for you is, 10 turnovers in the first half, cut it down to 7 in the second half, and certainly – they didn't eliminate, but they certainly minimized the Illini minimized the turnovers that led to points that were plaguing them in the first half. Did you see any adjustments in how they did that? What were your thoughts on how they kind of turned the turnover tide so that it wasn't a killer?
Honestly, most of the turnovers were really just I'll tell you this, first of all, I thought some of the turnovers, like Marcus Domask turnovers, were like he gets a little bit tired when he plays long minutes, and he has to make that it really makes it tough. And then when you look, he gets tired, he makes a sloppy pass. I think that's the one thing they do. They makes a little bit, don't meet passes. They get playing a little bit too fast. And it's at halftime, they really adjusted and they said, look, we're going to handle pressure this way. The other thing I noticed in the second half, Coleman moved up and helped with the press. And now you have him back there with his size and ability to pass the ball over the top, which was very effective. So yeah, I'm really, I thought they showed a great improvement. Now, a couple of turnovers, you know, I think Ked said, you know, like Ked said, 17 turnovers, but they had 15. They didn't have as many. A couple of those were at the end when they're just running clock, basically. And then, you know, trying to make a play at the end of the shot clock because they're just running time. But yeah, I think it's pretty clear that this is a team that is going to have a ball handler by committee. I asked Underwood about that. It'll be on my, videos on my YouTube page talking about that. And they took advantage. Marcus Dumas Reynolds was a guy they put in a lot of the situations today because they liked his matchup there. And so you're going to see them. Different guys are going to be the guy that they use in ball screens and different because of matchups. And that's what you they have to do. Now, would it be great to have Io DeSumo and we go just run him off the ball screen? Sure, it would be great. I mean, or you know, you got a true guard. But right now they don't have that, so it's sometimes going to be Shannon Damask, maybe Ty Rogers, maybe even just depending on what happens, depending on who's out there and what matchup they like the best.
You know, one of the adjustments I saw was Brad talked about Coleman Hawkins. I'm an old school kind of guy. One of the ways to break the press to me is to punish people who leave the middle of the floor open. The sidelines and baseline are dangerous. And with Coleman Hawkins and they flashed Terrence Shannon to the middle, they took the press off after a while because they knew they were getting layups and getting easy shots on the back end. That was one adjustment. Have to give credit to Tyler Underwood because I watched him yell and point to those guys to get to that spot. So that was a key part of the game to me, seeing them do that. And the guard situation, you know what? Marcus Domas is just a nice kid. And I said this before. I wrote about it on our website. Illinois fans, we're lucky to have him. I wish this kid would have another year or two of eligibility like Terrence Shannon had too, because could you imagine how good he would be in another year under Brad Underwood's system? So just a nice, solid kid. They, for the first time, I mean, for the people out there listening, I mean, I didn't think Illinois was going to lose this. You knew Rutgers was going to make a run. I said today, multiple times, I don't think this is Rutgers' team of old, but it's still a tough place to play. So it's a road game. It's a road win. And I think they caught the eyes of a lot of people nationally because I saw a lot of tweets. Terrence Shannon did himself a favor today from the national standpoint.
Brad, anything that jumped out to you that we haven't talked about? I want to maximize your time, sitting there courtside.
Well, I thought you know, Illinois only went eight deep. I mean, Imani Hansbury played a little bit. He looked a little bit. You see why freshmen struggle in the Big Ten. I mean, he kind of got abused when he was in there. And that's okay. I mean, he knows what to do, but it's just hard, you know, when you're that, you know, you're just a youngster. And so he'll adjust, he'll learn from this. But the one thing I thought was, I thought they got really good minutes from every guy. And I think that shows the depth. Like, you know, Justin Harmon made plays, Luke Goody made plays. You know, and we've talked about those guys. Dane Danger actually had some nice plays running the floor. Now there he reverted back a couple times and tried to be Dane. You know, I'm gonna spin and dribble and through my legs and reverse pivot and throw up something crazy. But most of the time, he was, you know, for a majority of the time, he did some really good things. So I think that's the biggest thing. But I think you're seeing that you saw the shortened bench. Now, the question becomes, you know, where does what do you do with Draven Gibbs Lawhorn? How does he handle this? You know, not playing in this one. And I think you'll see him play when they struggle offensively. I think you may see him play a little bit because he's an instant offense kind of guy. So it just didn't happen to happen today. So I think that's where you just got to be patient and kind of let it play out and let guys, you know, find their role. I know a lot of fans are going to be like, oh, they should have played the freshman or whatever at the end. Well, I don't think you want to give them pity minutes. This is a scholarship kid. He's a top 100 player. You don't put him in the last minute just to dribble the ball out. You know, so that's a different animal. So I just wanted to mention that I think that, you know, everything's going to be fine. They did what they had to do to win this road game. First time on the road for a lot of these guys. And I will say the rack, man, they are the first first half of that game, it was loud. I mean, they were into it. The crowd was into it. There seats about 8,000 people there, but they're down there by the court. It was really a great atmosphere. But in the second half, it obviously got a little bit less exciting.
I want to mention Terrence Shannon. He put the national stage on notice. What the NBA scouts talked to him about in the offseason, I think he's done. He is very consistent. He's not just putting his head down. And if he is, he's getting fouls. He has really, again, improved his three-point shooting and his ability to get a shot off. And I want to touch on this. I know, Brad, that you don't have a lot of time. One of the beautiful things about my job with Illini guys is I get to develop great relationships with these players and their parents. And I know for the fans out there right away, if you're concerned about, you know, Draven Gibbs Lawhorn, you know, just go to bed and put this to rest because his father and I, we talk weekly, and I'm going to tell you, that he is the least bit concerned about if his son gets 4 or 5 minutes. You know, one conversation we had when Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins talked about not coming back to the NBA, I mean, going to the NBA, he was upset. He's not a selfish parent. He's about the team. He knows where his kid's going to be, and Illinois has laid out a plan for him long term. So that's a good parent, good family, so don't worry about that. I'm sure Draymond will be ready for the next game, and Coach Underwood and Tim and Chester and Jeff and all those guys, they've all talked to Draymond. He'll be fine.
And Brad, the other question I wanted to ask you is, in the first half, every time the Illini, you know, the ball came in against them into the interior on defense, they were getting called for fouls. In the second half, that stopped. Was there any adjustments that the Illini made to kind of get, you know, a little bit more into a line where they weren't going to be having half their bigs sitting for the second half? Did they do anything different?
Not really. I think the biggest adjustment was just, you know, Coleman Hawkins played the entire 20 minutes of the five in the second half, and he didn't foul. So that was the biggest change. The one thing I will say is that he did not he got a couple of tough ones early, you know, I mean, some ticky-tack ones maybe.
Yep.
And that's where – so he got those. And then the other guys, you know, I think there was some question ones. I think Courtney Green is a factor there. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
Courtney Green makes a difference. I mean, he just calls some strange ones, you know, how it goes. And so I would say that that's probably the biggest thing is just – and I think – and I hate to say this, but it's almost like they wanted to make sure – Illinois got that big lead. They wanted to make it sure it was a competitive game. You know, I hate to say a conspiracy theory, but I think they get caught up in the moment. The crowd's excited and the crowd's yelling, and you know, it usually evens out, and it did in the second half.
Mike, one of the adjustments that I saw, I think Underwood or whoever, whatever coach decided to get rid of the ball screens from the bigs up to, those are cheap, easy, cheesy fouls that those officials were going to call. They called them on both teams right away. So, you know what, kudos for eliminating the bigs and putting them in that position, because without those guys defensively, it would have been a closer game. You know, Dane's made strides, like we said, and Amani gave you a few minutes, but I can't say enough. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know Coleman got at least one or two blocks that when they were on a run, and those are game changers. So I think defensively, you know, that part of it alone was to be able to keep those guys on the floor, because they rebounded really, really well. This team is really bought in and defensively in the way they go after balls and rebounds. So, and like I just mentioned to you, you know, that's going to be huge when shots aren't falling.
So, Brad, as we kind of come towards the end of this, FAU is next. This was a really important win. How do you think, you know, Coach Underwood and the team are approaching this next big game in Madison Square Garden?
I talked to him before, you know, before all this started, and their goal was to win these first two, and then Tennessee becomes gravy, right? But you got to win the first two. Florida Atlantic's playing really well right now, so this is going to be a difficult matchup. I think, you know, they have to make sure that they, you know, handle pressure again, Florida, and they have to contain the dribble. I think that's the concern with Florida Atlantic. When they get in the paint and they can start spraying that ball around, they're really hard to guard. And so that's where you have to, you know, Terrence Shannon is going to have to play really well in both ends. But I do think Illinois has some advantages in their, at the position. Positional size is another advantage, so they can attack the glass and do some really good things there. So I think it's going to be a fun game Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden. Of course, we'll be there, and should be a chance for Illinois to beat what I think will be a top 10 team at that moment.
Yep. Illinois should climb up the rankings too after a win today. Big lights, big stage. You know, this is, you know, they went to New York and they played Texas and won. This is one of those statement games, and I think a resume builder for later in the season. Like Brad mentioned, if they get some confidence and they could be Florida Atlantic, you know, I know that the Tennessee game is going to be, hey, you know what, let's just go play well. But I know in the back of their minds, they're going down into the win, especially what they did today, and if they could pull out a win against Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, and just to let people know, of course, you know, UNC Wilmington upset Kentucky today. Duke lost to Georgia Tech, and Wisconsin beat Marquette. And now Kentucky lost at home because that's what Kentucky does. But the other two games were on the road, which really makes this road win for the Illini. I know each conference victory is only one win, but when you go on the road and win, you know, to start your season off, that's almost like a double win, because it kind of gives you that little safety net that Illinois has not had for probably since 2010 when they beat Iowa.
Well, that's when you win on the road, you know, now you're plus one. You know, you go through a plus minus, lose at home, it's a negative one. But you win your home games and you steal five road games, you're 15-5, and that's really good in the Big Ten.
Exactly. Just take care of home court and game by game. I know that's coaches speak, but it's game by game at this point.
Perfect. Well, I tell you what, guys, thank you so much for this, taking time out of your evening. We will be back in just a minute as we wrap up tonight's program.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@IlliniGuys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@IlliniGuys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
And this is Mike Kegley thanking both Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy for taking their time to come on and talk about the game. Most importantly, though, we want to thank you for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. And of course, you can always go to IlliniGuys.com for more coverage. For $99 a year, you can be a member and you can go back on the message boards and get involved in all the rumors, innuendos, and the back and forth between Illini fans as we discuss yet another fantastic Illini basketball season. It's getting geared up and it should be a lot of fun. FAU on Tuesday, Tennessee on Saturday. Three big games in a row. The Illini got the first. Let's see how they do on games two and three. Go Illini!
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.